Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
Be honest. How many times have you searched, how do I get a divorce? Do you look at your life and wish there was an eject button? Today, we're getting honest about marriage and asking the question, is it really good for women? Well, hello, my friend Andrea. How are you?
Hello, my friend Jessica. I am good. I've got a little bit of a dilemma that I'm hoping you can help me with.
Probably not, but let's try. No, I'm kidding.
It's just, this has been on my mind. Okay, this has been on my mind recently. But I don't know if I should keep swearing the way that I do.
Oh.
You are familiar with
this
the
is,
words
this
that
is a
I
big
use.
Deal. Okay.
It is a big deal. And I feel like swearing is part of my personality.
I agree.
Feel like I want the full spectrum of words available to me at all time. And there's just a lot of things that like are not covered by like heck, you know?
No.
Like what the heck is going on here, you know? Like I need all the words. But recently I started to feel a little bit guilty and also wonder like for the podcast, do people like when we drop our F-bombs or are you like,
ooh.
You know, are there people who are going, I know this is not for me, and is that okay? I'm wondering what our listeners think.
So here's what's hard about it is if,
yeah,
because here's the problem is if people listen to it and didn't like it, they're not still listening to it.
Probably.
So that's part of the problem. Now, let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
What happened that led to this, like, should I keep cussing moment?
Okay. Well,
is there a story?
It's funny that you mentioned that. Sort of. Actually, this is just something that's been on my mind. And as a person who grew up in a religious environment, like you're not supposed to swear. And this would be frequently something I would like give up, but it was also part of my identity and rebellion. So it was just on my mind. Out of nowhere, a few weeks ago, something I was like chewing on. And then I'm driving with my kids in the car and I'm just like over it with music and this and that. And I'm like, I need to listen to a podcast that I want to listen to. It was actually about podcast growth. So obviously I needed to listen to it.
Podcast.
It's serious. I had my phone plugged in to do the directions. So it was going to be in the car. And I was like, guys, I need a break from all of this, like the kid podcast, the music. I'm just going to throw on a podcast for me for like 20 minutes. And that's just going to have to be how it is. And my daughter goes from the back, is it like your podcast where you cuss like every few minutes? And I was like, first of all, you haven't listened to my podcast, bitch. And then second of all, don't try to mouth off
leave
in
it
front
to the
of
daughter.
Your little friend who is in the back
leave
seat.
It to
actually,
the daughter.
It was her. It was our cousin in the back seat. And I was like, you know, when you just know when your kids is like trying to look cool and you're just like,
ugh. Yeah.
But it kind of made me go, huh, I mean, maybe the universe is trying to tell me something on a vibrational frequency that I should stop cussing. And I'm wondering what you think. Since
look at you believing in vibrational frequency all of a sudden.
We're going to do an episode on manifesting coming up.
Yes, we are. Just saying, we might not, you know, agree on all things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean,
to me, I think sometimes people have strong opinions on it. I personally don't have any strong opinions on cussing. I personally think half of the words we're not supposed to say, I would rather my kids say than some of the other words. Mm. I don't know. I just don't think like shit. It's poop. Like that's literally what it is, right? If you break it down, ass is butt. I mean, bitch is a girl dog. I don't know. I would rather if it were politically correct to use those terms in public, I guess that's not politically correct, but if it was socially acceptable to mm-hmm. use those words, I would rather my kids say that than like stupid or, you know, like stupid's really mean or ugly. Mm-hmm. Or if you think of some of these words, I don't know. So I guess I don't know. I can't answer that one for you. I mean, I think there's a time and a place for a big F-bomb to really prove your point, to really drive it home.
I actually think that the time and the place for a big F-bomb is what we're talking about today. So like, just to be clear, I'm not going to give this up today. But to cuss or not to cuss, that is the question. Let us know in a comment here. You can write a review for this podcast. We want you to write a review for mm-hmm. this podcast. And you can say in your review, I love it. Give me more F-bombs. Or you can say, I've been clutching my pearls all this time, and I'd like you to clean up your dirty mouth. And, you know, we'll take that into consideration. So here's the fucking issue that we need to talk about today.
She said it. She dropped the F-bomb, folks.
Here, this is what's been all over my social media feed for weeks. I mean, a lot of women's rage. And this is what's in my counseling room every single day. But this is what popped up. It was a TikTok from a younger woman who said, let me know, ladies over 35, does it make sense to be married to a man? And that's the question I want to discuss today, because in the review of this video done by someone on Instagram, which is how I learned my TikTok trends, maybe like a month or two later on Instagram, is she's talking through the comments that are on there. And a lot of the comments are like, happily married woman here, and I would never do this again. And so I'm wondering, what do you think?
I get that.
Marriage good for women?
I relate to that comment so much because I've always said, listen, I mean, happily is such a hard word because it's associated with happily ever after. So I just can't even say it. It just makes me cringe. But, you know, I am married. I have no intention of not being married. However, if something happened to said spouse, I would never get married again. However, there's just, I don't know, I don't see a reason to get married. I mean, I think there are a lot of times people see it from a religious standpoint, which is fine. You could just have a ceremony. I'm just not going to sign government documents ever again and make it like complicated. Ever.
Jessica's going off the grid. She's I'm like, going you off don't the grid. Own my relationship.
You don't own me.
Right. But I think the question is more like, does it make sense to be partnered with a man? And I think even a broader question is like, does any of this make sense at all anymore? I think marriage had its roots in, you know, property law, essentially, right? It was men could own property. You get married to create children. Only women could create children. And, you know, happily ever after. We have succession of property. Women couldn't have their own. It was a financial need to be together. And, you know, in theory, like a family or emotional need for men to be with women also so that they could have offspring, so that they could pass their property. But today, when women are so likely to have jobs outside of the home, I think a lot of women are going, what the fuck is in this for me?
Oh, I have so many.
Yes, that's what I'm here for.
Oh, I have so many thoughts going through my brain.
Start with like why it's not like why. Well, hold on,
before I go to why wouldn't I? Before, let me go with, because I'm actually more on why would. But I think that, you know, from a standpoint of children. Now, if I was on the I'm not going to have children boat, I don't know that I ever would get married. I just don't see. I don't know. A reason necessarily to just sign those government documents. Again, it just ties up finances. I don't know. I'm just more from a place of like, I don't know, if you build a business and, you know, you have two people, like, I don't know, why split it if you don't have to? But just saying. Anywho, But if we're looking, I think that looking at marriage is a symptom of a bigger problem. Mm-hmm. And so women married in today's society looks very different because of the loss of community. And so a part of me is like, I'm still 100% pro-marriage, because if we dissolve that, it's not going to fix anything. I actually would argue that it would make it even collectively worse from like in an individualized society. Mm-hmm. But are there as many benefits? No, I think it's just gotten, it's just very complicated regardless. But I still think it goes back to community, not necessarily the marriage itself.
I think that is a big and powerful question. Is it really marriage that's broken, or is it something else? And is marriage really broken, or is it great? And is it equally weighted in great and difficult for men and women? And let's talk about all that when we come back from our break.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
So I've been asking myself where this comes from, and I don't know if this is the origin or not, but there was a book that was released this year called This American Ex-Wife, How I Ended My Marriage and Started My Life.
I read that too.
You did?
I did. Oh my God, keep going. Keep going.
So the author cited statistics to support her concerns, saying these days nearly 70% of divorces are initiated by women who are tired, fed up, exhausted, and no longer in love, women who are unhappy. And that 70% is true. Although if you read the comments on our YouTube channel, the last time we talked about marriage and, you know, happiness or not, there's a lot of men who believe that has nothing to do with them and how terrible women are. So.
This is true. Can I say something in like conjunction with that comment, though, the 70%? So I was doing a little digging on that, because it is true. However, what I was reading is that statistically speaking, women are more likely to reach out to a lawyer and men are more likely to say, I don't want to reach out to a lawyer. So that is actually why we're seeing statistics like they are. So just as many men, not just as many, but a lot of those men want the divorce. They just, women just file first because they're most likely to reach out to a lawyer for direction. I just want to add that caveat on there.
I think that makes sense. I also think the question of like who's more unhappy is really hard to answer. Sort of. What a lot of the discussion around this centers on is that, you know, women are more involved financially. Now they have more options financially. And women still tend to do the vast majority of the work in the home. And the work caring for the children and the planning for the meals and the managing the home and all the emotional work. And so that there are benefits, like the exchange of benefits. And again, this is the argument against being married or against marriage being good for women, is that the exchange of benefits is really unequal now. That it used to be, if you're a man and you go to work and you come home and you've brought home a paycheck, you are a good husband. And your wife should be happy to be married to you, whether that was true or not, I don't know. Now it's when we look at what we expect from a relationship, it's equal partnership, splitting the labor. It's an emotional connection that's really deep. And the idea is that men are receiving those benefits now and maybe even more. And women are going, why the fuck am I doing this? It's a lot of work for me to be married to you. Is that?
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. I think it is hard, going back to your comment of it's hard to say if both partners are equally unhappy. Mm-hmm. I think yes, but for very different reasons. Mm-hmm. I will say, you know, it's interesting. I was with a large group of women earlier this week, and this topic of discussion just randomly came up about like your place, whether you're working, you're stay at home, like you have your own business. And it was just interesting because the conversation was going, and, you know, I can be such an observer when I want to be, and just observing the conversation. And there was no like, you know, my stay-at-home mom friends were like, I don't really feel like an equal partner at all. I always feel like everything falls on me and I have to do everything. And then like my working friends were like, yeah, but I still have to do those things too. But I feel like I have more of a sense of disappointment when my partner doesn't do them, because then I'm just like working double. Mm-hmm. And there was no like, there was no good answer. Like nobody mm-hmm. had a good answer. And I think it goes back to, you know, society has changed and communities have changed, but we haven't adapted. And mm-hmm. we certainly haven't supported women in the way in which they need in order to not put or feel like there's so much pressure within the home.
Mm-hmm. And I think that the adaptation that has happened in the last 50 years is that society has changed for women being able to go out and have your own job. And now what we need in a partner is emotional. And mm-hmm. even though I know we talked about the demands on fathers, the demands on men, you're looking for something very like internal from a partner. You know, there's a feeling that women are looking for, and a type and tenor of relationship, and this feeling of closeness, and also inequality. So while women have picked up, I think the load has gotten heavier, whether you are working out of the house or you're staying at home, the expectations, everything we have to keep up with is just higher, higher, and higher. Every time the bar goes higher, I think women have to pick it up. And now they're turning to their husbands and going, you never picked up your piece, and I'm done. Mm-hmm. And I see this every day in my office.
So, you know, when that question is asked, is marriage good for women? My very first like thought is no, but followed by, but it can be better for children. And I think mm-hmm. that's where it, like, when we zoom out, right? I mean, I do firmly think, as somebody who grew up in a divorced home, that a two-parent, everybody together, can be better. However, mm-hmm. then it goes to, but an unhappy two parents who are arguing, is that better than two parents that are happy and separate? And, you know, my thought on that is just, what are the odds that two people get divorced and they're civil mm-hmm. and they're okay? And I will tell you that if it was civil within my parents divorced, it would be a lot different. But I would have rather them argue in one house and not make me switch back and forth than to just argue in two separate places. So sometimes mm-hmm. I think the question of marriage is related to kids, which I hate to say, but that's where sometimes it goes back to.
Mm-hmm. And I think actually, you mentioned before, if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't get married. I actually think if I didn't have kids, marriage would be great for women. I love my husband. He's my favorite person to hang out with, right? Like I want to go on more dates with this man. I just know that when I'm buried, right, when we're drowning, and I feel like I'm drowning all the time in our life. I mean, not to say that he doesn't. I look at him and I'm like, you know, and he probably looks at me and is like, you know, why are you drowning? Let's fix it. Let's be done. That pursuer and withdrawer type of dynamic that happens. And so, I mean, I think the real question is having kids good for women? And that's a different episode that we
Definitely totally different.
Have to do. But I do think the question of, is marriage good for women, is different than the question of, and do I want to get divorced?
Yeah.
Those are very different questions.
Very, 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 very different. I think in today's society, it's hard. Now, now, if I didn't have kids, I wouldn't get married. That does not mean I wouldn't choose a life partner. I would like totally Grey's Anatomy it with a post-it note. That would be like my jam. Or do like a religious like thing where, you know, like, or whatnot. I just wouldn't tie up a bunch of stuff from a government standpoint, just because I've been on the opposite side from a grief perspective and how complicated it makes it. That's all I'm saying, I guess, to be clear. It's just more the complications that it creates in today's society with fees and lawyers.
Yeah, I do get that. When we come back, there's a lot of research that says that actually marriage is really good for everybody. And I think there's some personal things that we just haven't gotten into that make this question so much more interesting. And let's talk about those when we return. So, TikTok and Instagram comments aside, there's a lot of research that says that marriage is very good overall, that people who are married, they have better health, that they're more happy based on polling data, that they're more financially secure, that marriage is a good thing. Now, I don't know if this was done in 2024 or in a post-COVID world or since, you know, if this is data from the 1980s. I don't know. I'm so curious what you think about that.
So I was reading some of these statistics too and looking at when the research was done. And there is some to-date research that's out there. And, you know, there was one line that did make sense to me, and let me try not to butcher it. But it essentially said, like, if you have a group of women who are single or divorced or whatnot, and they have a successful career, and you compare their happiness level to a group of women who have a successful career and they're married, these people were, the married women were reportedly substantially higher level of happiness because they felt they had somebody to share it with versus, you know, on a like more intimate basis. Again, don't bash me on the internet or bash me as long as it goes viral, but that is just what, statistically speaking, that's what this happiness survey, I can't remember. I'd have to dig into it. I mean, it was legit. It wasn't TikTok, folks. We're not going to give you any research that's not legit. We're against it.
I think what you're pointing out is that there are elements here that are beyond just what happens inside the marriage. And I think some of what we're seeing, that backlash here, has to do with, you know, is it easier or harder for a married woman, especially with children, to maintain a career that she finds satisfying, to be able to have the amount of time to dedicate to it, to be able to have the support at home to dedicate to it. Without children, I actually don't think marriage has anything to do with that. Hopefully your spouse is your number one fan supporting you and you're like really having some vibrant connection and conversation around the work that you choose to do. But when you have kids and you stack up the cost of childcare against what you can make and you stack up the amount of admin it takes to run a home and to run the school and the kids' activities, a lot of women, I think, find that their careers are squeezed. Whether or not they continue to have one, they're, I mean, a lot of us feel like we are just overcooked or they get pushed out of a career. And, you know, you and I know stay-at-home mom is a career and it's not one that everyone's good at and it's not one that everyone wants. And so the impact of marriage with children, especially on a woman's career, is part of what's causing this backlash.
Agreed. I also think sometimes we just glamorize what it could be, right? Going back to that whole, the grass is greener on the other side. And I think we really, really have to be careful with that. And I tell couples that in my office all the time. Listen, my job as, you know, your couples coach here is not to necessarily keep you together, but it's to try to rework the foundation. And maybe we realize we can't do that, or we realize we'll be better separate, but let's, if we're going to be separate, let's make it so you're friends, you know, like let's make it a good thing. But, you know, I think that it just, again, goes back to there's not a lot of support out there for women. And I would argue that women have it worse than they have in a while nowadays. I think like there's just been an overfocus on a lot of other things and to the detriment of women. And so, again, I don't know if it's necessarily the marriage. I think there's so much pressure. We put like marriages in a pressure cooker and there's not a lot of support. A lot of people can't afford childcare. That, I think, is what the problem is. I think a lot of these things would still be a problem even if you weren't married necessarily.
Agreed. I also think so much of this is our expectation for marriage. It's that happily ever after idea that finding the person is the work, and then that being with that person involves being everything, getting everything from them. And again, I've been examining my own expectations of this and, you know, noticing what's going on in my office. I think we expect to get everything from one person all at the same time.
Preach, girl.
Like I think that if I were to look at my relationship with my own husband and I think of all the elements that people want from a relationship with one person, right? The romance. Okay, well, we had that, right? The spark, the connection, the fun. We had that. We have some of that now, but that was in the earlier days of our relationship, right? When we didn't have as much stress, when we didn't have as much to do, and when life was just easier and breezier and we were full of autonomy and whatever. I've had this with this man, right? Do I feel romance? Am I a provider of romance? I mean, I am fully owning this. Right now at 42 with four kids and two jobs and a dog that sheds everywhere and construction going on. No, I am not. There's not just like sparking happening all over the place. And if we go, well, marriage means like being always romantically sexy in love at all points during that 50, 60 year period, we're going to be unhappy, right?
Oh, because you're speaking to seasons. And I think that there are really hard seasons of a marriage. And one is when you do have younger kids and it does feel so divided when it comes to, you know, household and everything going on, especially if you're trying to work or, you know, you have a spouse that's traveling all the time. It can feel like I'm already a single parent. Why not just be a single parent? Again, you know, I think that I want to quote my favorite Esther Perel when she says, like, people don't get divorced because they're unhappy. They get divorced because of the belief that they should be happier. And I think that is a product of it, is we tend to look at everything within our relationships and our marriages that make us really unhappy. And we don't really teach people, at least I don't see it that often, how to be happy with current circumstance, right? It's part of that toxic positivity that we absolutely hate. Like, if you don't like it, just leave it kind of thing. And it's like, well, that, again, that's another external locus of control type of thing that we have going on. We're looking for happiness externally versus internally.
Yeah, I also think that what we expect in any given season should change from our marriage, right? And so a successful marriage that lasts a long time will involve romance and spark, excitement, and freedom in the beginning. And then when you have little kids, the definition of good at that moment needs to be, we partner really well. We function really well. And sometimes that's not what we're aiming for as women. It's like, well, I want to feel a certain way. Well, maybe we would do better in this season to get that fair play deck of cards and try to have a balance that feels good to us, to be really explicit about our expectations about who does what and to really like partner well. Is that sexy? Is it fun? Is it romance? No, but maybe it's what's required of the season. And if we could back up and just say like, hey, a really good marriage when you have little kids, it's about partnering well. It's about dividing and conquering well. You know, a really good marriage when you're working and I'm not, when I'm working and you're not, when we're both working, it feels and looks like this. And you have to like kind of weather each one of these different iterations of your marriage to be able to have a successful marriage. A really good marriage when you're empty nesters involves, I think, a sense of connection and liking the other person. Letting that person be like, if that person's the person I want to do things with, I think we're going to have a happy marriage as empty nesters. And maybe that kind of friendship aspect isn't what got you through in the beginning or the middle, but it's that season. And so I think it's okay to want all of it, just not all of it at the same time.
Simultaneously. Well, what I think you're speaking to is also expecting things to be temporary. And I think that's where people can get it wrong is this idea of, okay, we're living as roommates right now. It's always going to look like this. It's always going to be like this. We're never going to get out of it versus being like right now in this season, we kind of are two ships in the night because that's just a byproduct of what our lifestyle is right now. But knowing that it will change as kids get older or they move out, it's just learning to work with it initially. It's the stuff they don't teach you. But this is a product of what we're told. Like, oh, I'm just going to do this. I'm going to go back to work. He's going to take over for 3 weeks. Then he's going to go back to work. And then we'll like figure out childcare and it's going to be wonderful. This is why it blows up is because that's not realistic unless you have a whole plan for how that's going to look, how it's going to be divided ahead of time. But nobody tells you that you should do that or teaches you that. You just throw it up in the air. And then fast forward to 41 and you're like, should I even be married? Right?
Yeah, I think I had a friend who explained this really well. When you get through those really difficult seasons where you very much need each other, you know, in a very practical, tactical, and physical way, it's I'm at the point where I don't need you in the same way. And so I like damn well better want you, right?
Ooh, I like that.
And I think that goes both ways. But the way to get to the season where you want to be with each other is to partner really well in the seasons where you need each other. And marriage is hard. That's what we're trying to say. Marriage is hard and it's complicated. And we're going to have to answer a listener question about this on Thursday. So make sure if you're not subscribed to the pod that you subscribe right now, do not delay, so you can hear us dig into this a little bit more personally on Thursday. That's it for today's Honest Conversation. But don't be sad. Didn't you hear? We'll be here for you speaking some truth and feeling some feels every Tuesday and Thursday. So make sure to follow the show so you don't miss a thing. If you love what you heard here today, we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and a review. It helps new listeners to find the show. We truly believe that these conversations are best when they're carried out into your real life. So share this episode with a friend and check out the show notes for more ways to connect with us outside of the show. Until next time, thank you for listening to Honest Women.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.